Good morning, Emmanuel. The good news I want to share with you this morning is that we will be reopening here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Clovis, California on June 28, 9 a.m. service. With the spacing going on and all the safety protocols in place. And it's a very special day for me personally because it'll mark my 11th anniversary of my installation here at Emmanuel. And so as such, I'm asking all of you who are part of Emmanuel to come. Now, some of you won't feel comfortable coming inside. You can sit outside. Some of you won't feel comfortable being with others. Sit in your cars. We have an FM transmitter, and you'll be able to hear everything right on your radio or watch it on your smartphone. I hope you'll join me and join all of us on the 28th of June. And, of course, we'll be live streaming, so those of you who are at home, I will be able to watch from there as well. The good news, of course, is tempered by the worst kind of news that was also alluded to in my prayer earlier in the worship service. Such a tragedy in the death of George Floyd, the peaceful protests brought about by this that have seen in places wanton disregard for property and life, elements bent on destroying the very fabric of our nation. So we're saddened by this injustice, and my heart hurts as we speak. First the virus, now this. And that's why I want this morning to share with you a heartfelt message. When I began this sermon series and changing the way we think, I wrote the sermon series and outlines for each sermon before we ever had a coronavirus. Little did I know how appropriate these messages would be for such a time as this. Back then, I wrote to be said this Sunday the sermon title, Changing the Way I Think About Pain. And there's never been a time when there's been more pain in our nation and in our own lives, more uncertainty, more worry, more fear for the future than many of us face today. That has us ask the real question, why would a good God allow there to be such pain for us? It's not a new question. It's the very same question that King Solomon asked later in life when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Nothing new under the sun, he said. Everything is toil, he said. And in chapter 2, he said this. So what do people get for all their hard work and their struggles here on earth? Their entire life is filled with pain, and their work is unbearable. And even at night, their minds don't rest. It all seems so pointless. Wow. Does he hit the nail on the head or what? Sounds like he's talking to us today. So if you have your bulletin handy, and I mailed the bulletin out in the letter about our reopening to all of our members, or if you downloaded it, or if you just have your Bible open to Ecclesiastes 2, underline that phrase, their entire life is filled with pain. You know, that about sums it up. I've been around the block a time or two in my life. And I've seen a lot of people who can barely eke out subsistence week to week, paycheck to paycheck, meal to meal. Why should life be so difficult? Why does it have to be so hard? Now, it's one thing if there is purpose to pain. I mean, I could talk to you mothers, and I could ask you the question, did you have pain in childbirth? Excruciating pain in childbirth. Was it worth it? Would you do it again? If there is a purpose, you have your child, you'll tell me, I don't even think about the pain anymore. I have my child. But what if there was no child? Would you just want to have that pain? Pain with a purpose is manageable. Pain without a purpose is unmanageable. Here's the point. no matter what kind of pain you're in right now. If you're going through health issues, that physical pain, or you're having emotional and mental pain with everything that's going on, or financial pain, you're unemployed, underemployed, or maybe it's a spiritual pain gnawing at you in your soul right now. Whatever that pain is, you'll be able to handle it far better if you can see a purpose to it all, something that at the end of it all that makes sense. So let me show you what I mean from Scripture. One of the most faithful promises of God is in the Bible in Romans 8, verse 28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purposes. Please stay with me for a minute on this. Notice, he says that all things work for the good. He doesn't say that all things are good. Far from it. Not everything is good, and we shouldn't try to pretend that it is. Some things are bad, and some things are evil. We're living in a broken world where the whole world is groaning in travail to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ because of sin. And it's not good. But the Bible does say, we know that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love Him. That promise is meant for those who love Him, not just everybody. It's intended for those who have been called according to His purpose. If you love God, if you have Him in your heart, if you know Him as your Lord and Savior, if you believe in Jesus Christ, who has taken away your sin and given you a purpose in living and the certainty of heaven, then God has given you that promise. And He declares that God is working in all things in your life, the good, the bad, the ugly, for good, according to His purpose. Which begs the question, what is the purpose? What is the purpose for your life? Why have you been put on earth? Why are you hanging around so long? Why aren't you in heaven yet? What are your purposes? A lot of different books that talk about the purposes of God as extracted from the Bible. One of the best I've found is from Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. He says that there are five purposes to our life. Worship, fellowship, ministry, discipleship, and witness. And sometimes God will use pain to help us in all five of those life purposes as a Christian, that we can better understand what God has in mind with us. As pain comes to us, somehow we can witness. And so the point is, we don't want to waste our pain. We don't want to not profit from our problems. God would have us learn to harvest our hurts and to gain from our pain. Now, not that God has to create pain. There's enough pain in the world as it is. And that's why Paul asked the question in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, that's so important. He asks, have you gone through all of this, talking about all the pain? Have you gone through all of this for nothing? Is it all really for nothing? How many of you, I wonder, feel that maybe you have wasted your pain, that you have sat in a corner and sulked and just kind of thought about all the pain, you thought about it, focus was on yourself, and you have distanced yourself from God, you distanced yourself from others? Ask yourself, how many times have I been in pain and never used it for ministry, never even thought that I could use my pain for ministry. Well, it's never too late to change that. Because I say frankly that whether we are 60 or 70 or 80 or live to 90, We are going to have pain all the rest of our lives, and that's one thing that I can guarantee you in this life. Use your pain for good in your life. Now, I admit, I'm not the best example of that. I have had to learn the hard way how to do that. God had to hit me over the head. And so, if I might, I'd like to share my personal testimony with you. It was 27 years ago that my first wife, Judy, died, after almost 25 years in ministry. At that time, I had just received a call to be pastor at St. Paul's in Tracy, California, up near the Bay Area. I had been down in Southern California in all my ministry before that. My wife and I were looking forward to it. We had three teenage children reaching their early 20s. My son, a ninth grader. We were ready to go. My wife wasn't feeling very well. And during the course of that year, it got worse and worse. And 2 weeks after I was installed in Tracy, my wife passed away. She died from a carcinoma, brain cancer, like that. I was alone in a church of people I didn't know. All my friends down in Southern California. My two daughters abandoned me to stay down in Southern California, which they needed to do. I was left with my 9th, 10th grader son, and then my mother came to my doorstep with the onset of Alzheimer's for me to be the caregiver to her. I was in a hole so dark I could not see my way out. I was in a pain that I had never, ever experienced before. And yet I share this testimony with you today to know that, have you know that I was able to, and you too can move on, eventually to come to rejoice in your pain and to thank God for even such an experience as that. Somehow I came to realize that God wanted to use my pain in a way to serve him. I didn't have a clue. I didn't have a direction. I didn't have an idea. But here's eventually what I came to see. And I'll frame it in those five purposes that we outlined a minute ago. First, God used my pain to draw me closer to God, to learn to trust him more. Because we know when pain comes into your life, you have a choice. It'll either draw you closer to God, or it'll draw you away from God. And for the life of me, I can't figure why anybody would want to go away from God. If you're not going toward God, what are you going toward? Makes no sense to me. And so, this pain had a way of redefining my priorities. I have never looked at time the same way since. Now, every moment counts. You never know when the other shoe is going to drop. You never know how much time you have left with someone you love. And so I pretty rigidly calendar my day. I remember back then crying out in anguish to God. I was shouting to God. I was angry at God. I was yelling at God. And I was asking him, God, how could you do this to me? How could you let such a thing happen? I don't like you very much right now, God. You know what that's called? That's called prayer. It's called the prayer of lament. There is a whole book in the Old Testament called the Book of Lamentation filled with such prayer. And so back then, I kind of felt like Paul did when he wrote 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. He said, we were crushed and overwhelmed. And we saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. You ever feel like that? But that was good. What do you mean? Crushed, overwhelmed, good? That was good, he says. For then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us, and he did help us. And that was my biggest discovery. I found out that when I was powerless, now God's power could take over. When I was weak, his strength can be made known. Up until this time, it had all been Ed Krueger. Truth be told, before, it was I had everything I did turned to gold. It was a beautiful ministry. I had wonderful experiences, but it was a lot about me. But it was when I became weak, it was when I had nothing, that God could shine through. Such a difference it made. And that's why I like what the poet has to say. I walked a mile with pleasure, and she chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she, but oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. And I was drawn to God in my sorrow. And so you can be too in your life if you'll allow it. It can be said that pain turned me closer to Christ. And that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7. He says, I'm glad not because it hurts you, but because the pain turns you to God. And that's what can happen. So don't waste your pain. Let it turn you to God. The second way you can use pain for good is to allow it to draw you closer to others, and that's called fellowship. After Judy died, and I was alone with people I hardly knew, a wonderful church at St. Paul's tried to minister in a beautiful way, which was really cathartic for them, helpful for them. But I took a leave of absence, and I went back to my old congregation, people I knew. I went with my children, and we went on a little trip. I got back with those people there in Southern California, and they came to where I was, and they sat down next to me, hardly said anything. Here's the thing. There's a ministry of silence. The deeper the pain, the fewer the words that are necessary. Sometimes all someone needs is your presence. And if someone's hurting next to you, someone's hurting that you know of, and you think, well, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? Don't let that be your thought. Your presence is what's required. That's the healing agent, and you can do that. I think of what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. By helping each other with your troubles, you truly obey the law of Christ. And what's the law of Christ? It's what we have written up on the wall. Love God. Love others. Show it. Number 3. I let God use my pain to work on my character. And my character needed some working on. And so pain got to be a stepping stone to maturity rather than a stumbling block to immaturity. Proverbs 20 says, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Any of you know what I mean? I knew, you see, since I was a senior in high school and I picked up my Bible once again, that I was going to heaven, that I was to have a purpose in my life, Jesus Christ had forgiven my sins, that he was my Lord and Savior, and that I didn't have to have a question mark in front of my faith, but a certainty of God's love and his promises to me. It was as though what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:16, for this reason we never become discouraged. Even though our physical being is gradually decaying, yet our spiritual being is being renewed day after day. These temporal troubles we suffer will bring us a tremendous and eternal glory, the reward in heaven much greater than the trouble. For we fix our attention not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen, because what can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. And I came out of my pain with a new perspective. Yes, I'm in pain right now. And though pain may continue of various sorts through my 70s and 80s and 90s and however long I live, it's nothing in comparison to the joy that awaits me forever in heaven. And God has given me a greater perspective on pain than ever before. Give me the fourth reason. Here it is. I am my best when I serve others. I had to remind myself that I wasn't put on this planet to enjoy myself, that it wasn't all about me. And when we're going through pain, that seems rather counterintuitive, but we tend to think about ourselves, what's going on with us. But if we can redirect our attention Godward and outward, it's so much better. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1, he says, God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. Then, when other people are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. You can be sure that the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. So he says, when we're weighed down with troubles and pain, he said, it's for your benefit and salvation. For when God comforts us, it is so that we can be an encouragement to you, and then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. I ask you, who's better able to help a struggling veteran than a fellow struggling veteran? Who's better able to help an opioid addict than someone who's recovering from being an opioid addict? Who's better to help someone who's been molested than someone who has been molested? Who's better in helping someone who's struggling with a special needs child than someone who has a special needs child? Do not waste your hurt. Do not waste your pain. Let God use it. Your greatest ministry will come out of your deepest hurt. Let me say that again. Your deepest ministry will come out of your deepest hurt. You'll be honest with God. You'll be honest with others. You'll be honest with yourself. And as so, you will be in ministry. And so, use pain to draw close to God and worship. Use pain to draw close to others. Number five, God wants you to use your pain as a way to witness. I learned that God wanted me to witness out of my weakness. He wanted me to use my life pains as a way to be a conduit to other people. And what actually impresses people is not all the bells and whistles we can do, but what impresses people is that we can remain faithful even when to the world there seems to be no logical reason to be so. I think I've witnessed more out of my grief than I ever did the first 40 years of my ministry. Paul was a pro at this. He's now in a dungeon. He's now going to face martyrdom. And he writes in Philippians chapter 1, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped spread the good news. Paul says, I actually use my pain to model the message that God has given me. Model the message. Do you get it? If Paul had never been imprisoned and in a dungeon, most of the New Testament would never have been written. God uses pain for his glory. You know, anybody can handle good. You don't need God to handle good. It takes God to patiently endure. And that's what being a witness of Christ means. So consider what your deepest pain is right now. Consider how you might use that as your witness to others. Because in every area of your life where you've had pain, you have a story to tell. Will you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, our world is in such pain right now. We've been dealt the double blow of the COVID virus and the riots and unrest throughout our land. Many of us carry our own personal pain. We think of those in our prayer list. Pray for Debbie Young's mother, who has come down with the COVID virus in Tucson and is hospitalized. We pray for Marilyn Bowery as she awaits a lung transplant that will sustain her life. We pray for all who are sick and hurting in any way today. And as we do, we also want to thank you that no matter what we go through, however difficult it may be, we know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love you, who are called according to your purpose. So God, help me to better use my pain to draw me closer to you. Help me to use my pain to learn to trust you more, to depend on you more, not to run away from you, but to run to you when I'm in pain and hurting, to cry out, to ask for help. Lord, help me to use my pain to develop closer connections with other people who may be going through the same pain I am. So we ask you to make us more like your son, Jesus. Use even our pain to build character, to build virtue. Do that in my life, Lord. And then we pray, Lord, that you might help me to use the pain of my life to help others who are in pain, whatever I've gone through. Use it to serve and take the things that I'm most afraid of, ashamed of, running away from, realizing that those are the exact same things that could be useful in ministry. Because others are going through those same things in our world today. And finally, Lord, I want to be a witness with my weakness. I want to be a witness with my pain. And help me to look for ways to find people who are going through things that I've gone through. And then step up alongside them and invite them to know you and to share your love with them. Help us, Lord, to be a witness, not out of our successes, but we want to be a witness out of the pain that we've had in our life. And I commit all of this to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.